Today's podcast session is supported by Upheal. So if you ask a therapist who's doing clinical work what the bane of their existence is, usually progress notes are in the top 1 to 2. I'm not naming any names, but when I was doing clinical work, I remember I had several colleagues who would get so backed up on clinical notes, so they would end up spending their nights and weekends trying just to catch up. Honestly, who wants to do that? And this is where Upheal comes in. Upheal is AI-powered case notes. Now, I know for many of us, when we hear the word AI, there's like a natural skepticism. And honestly, I had that skepticism as well until I got to meet with the Upheal team and learn about some of the many ways that they are doing this in a way that is HIPAA-compliant and also doesn't sell data to anyone and also protects our clients as well. You can learn more about Upheal and the awesome work that they're doing in the world by going to sellingthecouch.com/Upheal. And Upheal is spelled U-P and then H-E-A-L, all one word. And at checkout, be sure to enter the promo code COUCH25, C-O-U-C-H, and the number 25 to get 25% off your Upheal plan for the first 2 months. Hello, hello. Welcome to today's session of Selling the Couch. I hope that you're doing awesome, having a wonderful day. So today's podcast conversation is actually all about virtual presentations. I'm joined by Lorraine Lee. Lorraine and I actually connected, all these months and years ago, getting confused, but we actually connected in fall of 2021. We were both part of Maven's third cohort for cohort-based courses and part of Maven's accelerator program. And I, saw Lorraine was doing some pretty amazing things when it came to virtual presentations. So, practically, right, if you're doing any sort of anything from doing a webinar to drive business all the way to speaking virtually at conferences, and how do you show up on video in a way that is authentic and as much as possible mimics the actual live experience. So today, Lorraine and I are going to have an amazing chat about some of the tips and practical strategies that Lorraine has learned along the way. In the process of this, Lorraine has built a very massive following on LinkedIn and several hundred thousand followers on LinkedIn. Lorraine was formerly at LinkedIn, worked for LinkedIn, and then was also part of Prezi. So she's very much immersed in this world of virtual presentations and learning and what sort of, how we learn best online. And there's just some interesting stuff. What's actually even more amazing is right in the middle of this podcast conversation, Lorraine actually does the thing that she preached and put this amazing graphic right on the screen. This is the part I kind of stinks that we have these audio conversations, but I was just blown away by what Lorraine did. And you'll probably hear my voice right in the middle of the podcast conversation. So we'll get to today's podcast conversation. Here's my conversation with Lorraine K. Lee from LorraineKLee.com. Hey, Lorraine, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Thank you for having me, Melvin. I'm so excited.
I know it's kind of a little bit of a full circle moment. We first connected, and I remember we were a third cohort in Maven, I think, right?
Yeah.
And I remember, I don't remember if we were ever in small groups, but I remember I can't remember if it was in the Slack channel, but I was like, oh yeah, Lorraine seems awesome, and grateful we got to connect there. And then grateful we got to connect, and you've been so kind and supportive as I forayed into LinkedIn because I have no idea what I'm doing. And
oh yeah, no, you're doing a great job.
Thank you for saying that. And thanks for, just being kind enough to comment on stuff. And
of course.
Yeah, it's a different world, right? And we're talking about the world of presentations. I mean, I don't know, maybe even before we start this, could you have even imagined this pandemic, how virtual presentations would become almost the norm?
No, and it's funny, I have such a I have a lot of experience in the presentation space. And so, you know, I worked at SlideShare, which was a LinkedIn company at the time. I worked at Prezi. And yeah, I could not have imagined that all of that would be so useful by the time virtual presentations came around and that it's, you know, taken off in the way that it has. But I'm really happy it has. I think it's made it a lot more accessible and just provides a lot more possibilities for how to make great presentations.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said, right, it provides more possibilities. So I know we'll get deeper into this, but even at a surface level, what has been a shift? Like, what has been some of those opportunities from as a result of going virtual versus just, you know, live?
Yeah, well, I think there is, of course, the obvious where if you're presenting virtually, you get to reach a much wider audience and people you might not normally have spoken to before. You know, I think virtual is really a unique way for people to stand out. I think when we shifted to virtual, a lot of people were just trying to take the in-person experience, kind of plop it onto the virtual experience. They weren't really doing anything differently. They were kind of going through the motions, you know, maintaining the status quo, doing the screen share, all of that. But with virtual presentations, for those who can do it well and kind of put in a little bit of that extra work, you are really able to, you know, create an experience for your audience. You're able to grab their attention in different ways. You're able to, you know, for better or for worse, the virtual audience is a lot harder to engage. So there's a lot more distractions and things just grabbing our attention. So, you know, if you can do virtual well, I mean, you're just going to rise immediately above the pack and really stand out.
Yeah, man, I love how you said that. And even like, you know, I mean, you know this, like, you know, I run, you know, I have like a live teaching for our mastermind. And this is something I've been thinking a lot about, right? Not just like presenting information, but it's like this infotainment element that I feel like gets even more magnified in the virtual setting because attention is so limited.
For sure. And I created this framework for meetings. So kind of related to presentations, but the first step in that framework, I talk about warming up the crowd. And like to your point, when you're on video, you are kind of an entertainer now and you really have to do more than just, you know, hi everyone, and just jump into the presentation to make it interesting and make it engaging and make people remember what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There are like so many nuances. And I think, you know, this, like the majority of the listeners for this podcast are therapists, but I actually feel like this kind of comes in a way natural to therapists because many therapists are kind of natural feelers. They're empathic, like, right? They feel that connection. And I think for a lot of therapists, the biggest intimidating factor is the actual tech piece of it, right? But I feel like, you know, I don't know, so many therapists have made this transition to telehealth, right? And they've stayed on it. So yeah, it's just, there's an interesting thing, I think, just in that, in this among colleagues, you know. I wanted to kind of dive a little bit deeper. So into kind of strategies, tips, and things like that. Virtual presentations, maybe we can even start there. So when you say virtual presentation, is this like, what are some examples of that? Maybe we can even start there.
Examples of virtual presentations?
Yeah.
I think it's anything where you are virtual, so just not in person. So it doesn't have to be just Zoom specific, but it can be any platform and you are sharing some sort of content to an audience that's not in the room with you.
Perfect. So this could be anything from a paid talk you're doing to a webinar to like anything where you have information and you're trying to communicate information to a group of people, right? What would you say are like, so I know when we were chatting, you know, we were like, let's try to like hone in and really think about some practical tips to do these virtual presentations. So maybe we can just dive there. What would you say is like a kind of an easy to implement tip?
Yeah. Well, I love that you're saying easy to implement because, I mean, as you referenced before, I think people can get really overwhelmed with virtual, but, you know, I really like to break it down into simple, actionable things that people can do and can implement to really stand out. So the first tip I would share is to add movement to your presentations. And I had this colleague at my former role, and he would always say, movement is the gateway to attention. And Melvin, if you think about, you know, binging Netflix, or you go on a walk and you see a bird flying by and your eyes are just automatically drawn to it. You know, that's movement. And our brains get bored very easily. We get used to things quickly. So movement is kind of what breaks us out of that monotony of a presentation or just daily life. It's what triggers like a dopamine hit in our brain. And if you think about the presentations you've seen, whether in person or virtually, you think about the presenter sitting on a slide and they're just talking about the same thing for like 10 minutes. I mean, you are zoning out after, you know, minute two. It needs to kind of keep moving, keep changing. And so I think that's, you know, kind of the first thing I always like to tell people virtually, because virtually you have to move even a little bit more than you might in person. But it's a very easy thing to implement.
That's really awesome. And again, I tend to ask a lot of like silly questions on this podcast. But
no, not silly questions.
So you said like movement. So it sounds like movement within like slides, right? So is this also like physical movement of the presenter?
Could be, yeah. So movement in terms of the physical slides could be showing a video. It could be having a GIF, a moving sticker. Maybe you just have some fade-ins, you know, coming in. And then movement of, yes, like the body language as well. And so, you know, another aspect of presenting well virtually and appearing confident and competent is having the right framing and using your hands to emphasize your points and all of those good things.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you said about slides and transitions and having these. I remember like I felt like when we were in Maven, like this was really like emphasized over and over, like switching stuff up.
They did it well.
They did it really well. Do you have like a general framework of how you think about it? Like, I try to aim to switch stuff up every 15 seconds or like any sort of hard and fast rules like that.
Yeah. So I like to say 2 movements per minute. And I think, so Maven did a really good job moving through things. I think what Maven also did a good job doing is creating pattern interrupts, or I think they call them state changes. And essentially, and that's kind of what movement is in some way. So for example, if you show a video, that's a state change because you're kind of breaking up what you are already doing. So you're talking through content, you show a video, you're kind of breaking up that attention. Anytime you launch a poll or ask a question or ask people to write something down, that's going to be a state change because they're moving into a different state of things. And that's also going to be a really good way to capture attention. I think it's a little bit harder than just simply adding, you know, some movement to your presentation, but it's also a really great way to keep people engaged.
Yeah. And so just to kind of hone in on this, and the whole idea behind this is the more of these intentional changes there are, the more you can sustain attention for longer periods of time, right?
Yeah, just because our brains get used to things. And so we're living in the TikTok era now, right? So things are just constantly moving and changing and just quick content, quick info. So yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And I mean, I'm even thinking about like grad school, right? Like, I'm sure you can resonate with this, but like so many of, you know, lectures that we saw were like slides, lots of text, right? And you're sitting here trying to read it. And it's not that way, I feel like, anymore, right? And in fact,
I hope not. I think there are some people who still do that.
Yeah, right. I hope not as well. But like, I forget where I'm probably going to butcher how I heard this, but that basically like slides should be a supplement and not the main thing, right? And so I was wondering if we could dive a little into that, like how you think about like the role of slides versus the role of the person.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with that. I think slides are not meant to be the sole focus. And really, like one of the reasons when we went virtual, why it was so difficult to pay attention is because we lost that human connection piece. Because with the screen share, for example, our faces got really small. The slide took up the whole screen and you're just staring at a wall of text. And then I think, you know, platforms like Zoom kind of changed it so you can make the person bigger, for example. But even still, you're kind of competing person or content. And so when you can kind of integrate the two, I know this is not a video podcast, but maybe in a video clip later, you'll see I have some visuals on my screen. And when you can integrate the two, that's really where, like, that's the sweet spot. And like you said, it's kind of you building this experience and it's you plus the content just kind of working in tandem versus one, you know, being super dominant.
Hi there. I hope that you're enjoying today's podcast session. Before we get to the rest of this session, just wanted to let you know that we have a weekly email newsletter. It's called the STC newsletter. I know, super creative, but we've literally been sending it pretty much every week since 2015. It's at this point now trusted by over 2,700 clinicians. And each week we share the latest podcast episode, some of the writing that I'm doing on LinkedIn with regard to my journey as a course creator and making this transition from psychologist in clinical practice to online creator and owner of an online business. And we also included a brand new section called On Mel's Mind, where I break down a blog post or a video or something that's inspiring me to become a better person and a better business owner. If any of that sounds interesting, I would love to have you sign up. You can sign up over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. We also have a bunch of different guides that we include. The current one that we have is an A to Z online course guide. So if you sign up through there, you get that guide absolutely free. It basically takes all of the lessons that I've learned as a course creator since 2015 and growing my own online course to over 270 students and over $315,000 in revenue. Just many of the lessons, but more importantly, the epic fails I've learned along the way. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. And we'll get right back to today's session. Yeah, I like that. And I think what you're saying also in this is people need ways to like center themselves besides just seeing you or just seeing a slide. Like on your presentation, right? You've got your logo, you've got what you do, you've got your face, you've got some beautiful, you know, kind of gradation right there between the white to the blue. Like, I know you have thought about all of this, so I know it's intentional, but I mean, can you take us a little bit behind that and sort of how you sort of even think about that visual, even for you?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I know that this is not a video focused podcast, so I didn't want to put so much on my screen and like so much information where no one's going to even see it. But yes, I put my logo, I put the gradient you see here. That's my brand colors. And then I have your couch here and your own logo. And that was meant to kind of tie in, you know, my brand, your brand, and shows that we're, you know, doing something together. And then, you know, put my name, obviously, and, you know, some information about myself. I kept it simple and this works perfectly well. And I could add, you know, a little bit more as well, but for this use case, it makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love how you sort of integrated a lot of these things. And even just, I think, you know, this, maybe you don't, like I took a lot of art classes when I was growing up. So I'm like really interested in design. And even you have these beautiful flowers, right? Like for your right shoulder, right? And I love sort of the contrast because it's very on-brand color. Right. But it's a nice contrast with my logo on the opposite diagonal. And so, I mean, it feels like it's a, like my logo's red, bold, right? Like heavy kind of emphasis, but I love the contrast on the other side because it kind of a nice blend of the two, you know, balances it out better.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Yeah. And, you know, you referenced my background. So I'm talking about the visuals now, but, you know, I like to say curating your background is also a big part of that virtual presence. Again, you want to appear confident, you want to appear professional, competent, like you know what you're doing, curating your background, ideally staying away from virtual backgrounds if you can help it, and just having people, you know, see the real thing. Just because our brains are already, you know, working in overdrive on video, you do have to put in a little bit more effort in terms of interpreting what's going on, seeing people's facial expressions on video. There's like the slightest lag just because of technology and we're not, you know, live together. So yeah, anytime you can kind of ground people in reality and just kind of imitate or make it seem like we're talking in person, that's also going to go a long way.
Yeah. I mean, it is amazing, right? Like the shift of pre-pandemic, we just saw Zoom as a way to like do a quick meeting. But now, like we really think about all of these things, like background and what that plays and, you know, the things that you put in your background. Speaking of which, generally, like how do you sort of think about stuff that you put in backgrounds for your, like when you show up on video?
Yeah, well, I always like to include some flowers or plants. I think it just, you know, and same in person too, plants, I think just create like a more positive, calming environment. And so I wanted to come across as professional, but still personable. So I have like the plants, I have a little bit, I have like my Muay Thai gloves behind me, my retired gloves, just to show off a little bit more of my personality. It's a great conversation starter as well. I have some candles over here on my right side as well, kind of creating that calming atmosphere. And yeah, and just making sure it's not too cluttered and just clean.
Yeah, I like that. I had no idea about the Muay Thai. That's pretty awesome.
You're like, what are those binder? Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what those were. And that is, but I think this is the thing, right? Like you just said it, our backgrounds, right? They are also meant to create curiosity, form sort of a human connection, right? Like, yeah, I mean, I thought a lot about this stuff from my background too, right? Like I love landscape photography. So my like old camera is like right there. And I've got, I don't know, my little glass head that I usually put these headphones on when I'm not recording.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, I like your background. It's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, thank you. But I love the fact that we're talking about this because like, I think especially sometimes therapists, right? We are often taught almost to like be blank slates. I think that's definitely changing.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
But in a virtual setting like this, right? Yeah. There's, I don't know. The thing I kept thinking is like, how do you connect like heart to heart, you know, in a virtual setting like this and showing like little bits and pieces of your life and history and, you know, and I think that looks different for everybody, right? Like what's comfortable and what's not comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm all for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you like, maybe it's like a little nuanced one, but like, how do you think about like pictures, like personal photos?
I have a few in my background. I don't know if you can kind of see it from a distance.
Yeah, I can.
I like them. I don't usually have people asking about them, but I think people see them and they know I have a life and people I love and people who love me. So I think that kind of adds to that human element, right? Like just giving people a little peek into your life. And you know, I've seen people with bigger photos. So like, I think, you know, if that was the case, people would be more likely to ask. Mine is a little bit small and kind of at a distance. But yeah, artwork, family photos, things like that. I think those all give a peek into the window of who you are and give. And it's really nice to have people ask and you get to share that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're so glad Lorraine is not just like in her apartment by herself. She has family. It's so awesome.
Is she okay? Yeah.
She is. Okay. So we talked about like generally when you're presenting like these state changes, we talked about having slides as sort of a supplement and thinking about other elements that you, so like all the pressure doesn't fall on your face or on the slides as you're giving these presentations. We talked about integrating like backgrounds like that represent you, that form a human connection. Any other sort of easy to implement sort of tips?
Yeah. Another one I would say is to include visuals. So I'm going to just throw out a few stats there for you, Melvin. So 90% of the information processed by the brain is visual. 80% of people remember what they see versus what they hear and read. And then 65% of people identify as visual learners. And so I'm like listing a bunch of stats now, right? And you might remember some of them, but I just want to show this to you here. Now, let's say I set all those stats and I had these visuals on screen. Now, you're probably not necessarily going to remember all these numbers, but you're going to remember the slide that Lorraine had that showed this cool brain, these bright colors on the paintbrushes, and this art piece, right? And so this is just an example showing like how visuals can help people remember what you've talked about. It's just like more interesting too, right? Than just hearing or just seeing like three bullet points of stats as well. So just anytime you can add some sort of visual element, use a visual element to replace text. I think that goes a long way as well.
It's amazing. I'm like so impressed you just did that in the moment. And you're right. Like, I mean, again, this is how like naive I am with all this stuff, right? So I'm thinking like you just mentioned those stats. Okay. So you're going to pull up like a slide deck or something, right? But how in the world did you just pull up like the...
So I used to work at a company called Prezi and they have this product, Prezi Video. And so that's what I'm using right now. And I use this for all my talks. As you can see, it's just a really different way. And I talked about virtual presentations being an experience, right? This is kind of, you know, what I'm trying to convey is that you can be put into the slide, you merge together. It creates like the ultimate experience when it's you plus the content at play.
That's amazing, right? And there's a, Yeah, there's like a play element to it, right? Like it's not like this boring presentation where you're telling me about like 90% of, our us are pro, like brain process of visual, like, but you're seeing it, I'm seeing you, like, yeah.
Yeah, you can get really fun with it. You can get really fun with it.
Yeah, I gotta, well, listen, I'm gonna be trying this out after we get done with our podcast chat. I don't know, like the more like we're talking, the more I'm realizing like one, like, how do you present information in a way that is interesting and memorable, but also forms a human connection, right? And is that, I don't know, like, not to overly simplify it, but is that like a general sort of thing that you think about, like, as you create presentations?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And you were asking about easy to implement tips, like and you mentioned the human connection. One other tip I would share is that eye contact, it's not specific to the presentation, but eye contact virtually is really important. So I am still getting on calls, still seeing presentations where people kind of look off to the side like this, or they're just looking at an entirely different monitor. And it is so hard for me to focus because I'm like, are you looking at me? Are you paying attention? Like, what are you looking at over there? And so to have the eye contact is really important. And when we met in person, we would shake each other's hands, and that would release oxytocin, which is the social bonding hormone. And of course, virtually, we don't have that opportunity, but making eye contact on camera is kind of going to replicate or at least get you some of that oxytocin that you would normally get doing the handshake. And it's going to make people feel like you're looking at them, like you are, more connected to what's going on. Melvin, you do a great job with the eye contact. I always appreciate it. And so that one, maybe not as easy to implement. Once you know it and practice enough, it will become hard to not make eye contact, but it does take a little bit more practice at first than those other tips that I mentioned.
Yeah. Well, thank you for saying that. But like, it's been a process for me because, I mean, practically prior to this, right? So I use a DSLR for, for these Zoom calls, but I didn't have like a teleprompter. So I'd have my monitor off to the side. And so I would be looking like this at questions or, I mean, again, this, I know it's hard to like describe, but as much as well as possible on a audio, but how do you set this up so that how do you set up your monitor so that people can see that you're looking at them while not looking off screen? Is it like a multi-monitor setup? Like what's
So I just have one main monitor, and then I have my laptop off to the side. And I think what a lot of people do is they have the monitor and the laptop, and they're using their laptop camera, but they are dragging everything onto the monitor. So that's why they're kind of looking. That's why the eye contact never quite works there. But what I did is I bought an external camera, put it on my monitor. My monitor is where everything is going to be, and then you kind of test it out. Like if I look into my camera, it's probably looking a little too high up, but I found out that looking right below the camera is kind of that good sweet spot. So it might take a little bit adjusting, but essentially rule of thumb is put the camera where your main screen is.
got it. And then you said this little thing, which I just wanted to make sure. You said when you're looking at the camera, you kind of look a little below the camera, usually.
Oh yeah, so just for my setup, when I look into the camera, it kind of looks like I'm looking a little bit higher up, like I'm not looking at eye level. And so I personally, for my setup, will look a little bit right below the camera, the top of my monitor, and that's where it looks like I'm making good eye contact with my audience.
Got it. And then you have the laptop, so I'm just trying to imagine this. What is the function of the, so all your main content is on this monitor, and then what is the function of the laptop
Other windows and apps.
that you need that you may not?
Secondary windows and apps, yeah. It's more for like when I'm actually working and just need two screens. But when I'm speaking to someone or speaking to an audience, I'm going to want, everything on the monitor.
Got it. Lorraine, any kind of other quick tips? Otherwise, I have a question about introverts and doing these.
Yeah, no, please go ahead. Go ahead with your question.
I feel like a lot of therapists are naturally probably more introverted and they're also like feelers, right? So the introverted part is like, it can be really intimidating to do these presentations. The feeler part, right, is that human connection, right? You talked about the oxytocin being released. That's really hard on a virtual presentation, right? They feed off like energy. Any tips for folks that either are introverted or more feelers, right, as you do these virtual presentations to kind of show up, authentically.
Yeah, well, I love that question. I think virtual is really perfect for a lot of introverts. I'm an introvert myself, and so I'm speaking from experience, but I like virtual because you don't have so many different stimuli around you as you would in person, and you can really focus on the presentation at hand. And introverts have a lot of strengths. What comes to mind in the context of presenting is that introverts are really good at preparing, thinking thoughtfully, and listening. So I think where introverts have that advantage is really trying to understand your audience, understand their challenges and pain points, probably ahead of the presentation, and then building a thoughtful presentation that is catered to them. And of course, you're going to be practicing a lot, so you're going to come across really confident, really knowledgeable, and then you're going to make a great impression. So I think all those things are in the favor of introverts, and I love virtual presenting. I think it really works for the introverted personality.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then for anyone that's sort of like is more of like a feeler type, right? Like they really rely on that sort of human connection. How do you, I guess, I don't know if the, how do you simulate that maybe in sort of a virtual setting? Like, I don't know if that.
It makes sense. I think there's some different things you can do. So one, if there's an option for people to turn on their camera and it's not like a close off event where it's just you speaking, I always like to encourage people to turn on their cameras and just asking for it and saying, I know there might be many reasons why you might not want to, or maybe you're not comfortable, but it would help me a lot feel more connected to understand if what I'm saying is resonating, if you could turn on your camera. So kind of giving them that reason why I think is always really great and encourages people to turn on their camera. And then there are different other tools or things you can do. For example, you can have polls, or there's certain like interactive polling tools, or like multiple choice, or like word clouds, or things like that that I know can't replicate necessarily that in-person feeling, but you can kind of see audience engagement and get a feel for how engaged they are and what's working. And if it's not working, you can, just ask them, what's helpful and what's not, and just be direct with them. And I think, yeah, that kind of ability to connect with people, just it goes a long way, and it comes across very authentic, and it can help you kind of find out what works.
Yeah, I love how you said that. And I think like what I heard and what I took away is there's such power and vulnerability, right? Like even the way you phrase that, like just saying like, you know what, I know this is really uncomfortable to be on camera, but like it would really help me so that I can, and just sort of presenting it that way, right? And the vulnerability in that, I really like how you phrase that. So Lorraine, thank you so much for doing this. I really am just grateful for you, grateful for just sharing these tips in order to do these virtual presentations so much better. Please tell us how we can learn more about you, and tell us also about some of the awesome work that you're doing that if folks are interested in.
Oh, yes, of course. So I am expanding my business this year. So I do a lot of presentation consulting, and people are interested in using Prezi. I do consulting on that as well, but basically how to public speak, how to present virtually. So you can learn more at lorrainklee.com, or you can con or and you can connect with me on LinkedIn, and that's going to be Lorraine K. Lee as well on LinkedIn.
Awesome. And Lorraine has quite a massive following on LinkedIn. And but I mean, you show up and you do with authenticity, and I think people are really drawn to that. So
Thank you. Yeah, and if any of your listeners decide to connect, just let me know you learned about me on Melvin's podcast, and I'll definitely send you a note back.
yeah, absolutely. I and Lorraine is fantastic with always like responding to DMs. So thank you again for doing this, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thanks, Melvin.
Bye. Hey there. Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Lorraine. And especially if you have been doing more virtual presentations, or you're envisioning doing them, or you're making this transition to, clinician to online creator, doing more videos, doing webinars, all of that kind of stuff. I hope that today's podcast conversation has just been really helpful and beneficial for you. Lorraine's website, again, is at lorrainklee.com. And as Lorraine mentioned at the end of the podcast, she does keynote presentations, presentations for groups, all of those things. Lorraine's somebody that I absolutely trust. So definitely reach out to her if your group practice, or if you are listening and you host a conference or retreat and you want Lorraine as a presenter. I was thinking about this conversation, and first of all, like when I have conversations like this, it's so hard not to take notes while having these podcast conversations. But I found myself reflecting on one major thing, which is for me, even when we do like our online course mastermind, we do teaching workshops twice a month. And as I shared at the beginning, I went through Maven's accelerator program. And one of the things that they taught in this accelerator was, well, two major things. One is this I do, we do, you do framework. So, if you're presenting something, right, you share a little bit of your experience, have people do it together, and then have them do it independently, right, during this sort of presentation. But the other thing they talked about was this state change concept, right? And for me, like, I like tech, but conversations like this also make me realize like how much more I have to learn and get, more versed at, right? Like this whole concept of like Prezi and being able to actually put these graphics on your screen, it's really hard to explain it, which is, I'll see if I can include a screenshot, when we post this in our community, but literally what Lorraine did is she pushed a button and these graphics like popped up in front of her that had the visuals of what she had just shared. So she didn't switch over to a slide or anything like that. And it just like was so natural and it worked out so well. So it just has me thinking about like how to present better. I'm realizing like I've really nerd out on this stuff, especially with our mastermind and just learning, different ways of being more dynamic in presentations and things like that. So I hope that today's session has just given you some new ideas in order to present better online and also just give permission to show more of yourself on these presentations, whether it's just your personality or where it's just the physical things that you may have in the background. Have a great rest of your day and I will see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.